Okay, Chodesh Tov, everyone. This morning, in davening, which I hope you all did, there was a part of davening called Hallel, which is a minhag, as you know, on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore we say the half Hallel, not the full Hallel. And in this minhag that we fulfilled this morning, we repeated words. As you recall, we repeated the words such as, Odu decha ke'anitani v'tehili lishua twice, Zayom asa Hashem twice. Anyone want to continue on this?
Ana
Hashem, Ana Hashem, etc. Baruch Haba. We repeated words. And indeed, the Gemara in two places talks about these repeating words in Hallel and says that it's okay. In Meseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph, there's a Rashi that says these particular words can be repeated because they basically mean the same thing. If you look at that parak in Tehillim, you're basically saying the same thing again and again. Hashem li lo yira maya li ani adam. And li bozrai Hashem alibis sonai. In other words, we're basically saying the same thing, so it's okay to repeat. So it deals with it there. Another Gemara in Masechet Psachim, Daf Kuf Yetet, says that you can repeat these words of Hallel simply because when David HaMelech was told that he's going to be the king, his whole family was happy, his father Yishai and all his brothers, and they all repeated the words. So Epis for Hallel were covered. On the other hand, there's parts of davening that the Gemara deals with, Mishnah and Gemara to be precise, and says you can't repeat. Does anyone know where? Famous Mishnah in Masechet Brachot, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet says, if a person in davening says, Modim, Modim, I thank you, I thank you, not only is it wrong, but you have to shut him up. If, however, says Rav Zeira in the Gemara, you say Shma Shma, same idea, you don't shut him up, but he did something wrong. It's repulsive. So we have a Gemara taking care of Hallel, so we won't deal with Hallel right now. We have a Gemara saying that Shma Shma Modim Modim is off the radar screen. You can't do it. And it seems that indeed we understand why you can't do it in the case of Shma Shma and Modim Modim. What's the reason? It's like you're saying Modim to this God, thank you this God, and thank you that God. Shma this God, Shma that God. Not a good idea. My question is, what about all the rest? I mean, you've been in shul. You know the situation where a guy is singing a song, and Epis, the song doesn't work out with the words like a puzzle piece fits into it. So you have two choices. You can either not sing the song, and no chazan would ever do that, or you ruin the words, excuse the expression, in order for it to meet the song. Sometimes it sounds funny, because it means exactly the opposite of what you're saying, and sometimes you just repeat the same words. And it happens many, many a times. We repeat words in davening. You can think of examples right off the top of your head where there's a tune being sung and the words are repeated. Or a chazan just repeats words for the sake of repeating words because it's part of his cantorial piece. Is that okay or not? So as I said, we have a Gemara saying in Hallel, it's fine for those particular parts of Hallel. We have another Gemara, Mishnah and Gemara that says, Modim, Modim, Shma, Shma, off. So what do we do with all the rest?
Does it depend whether it's this cantorial song versus davening? And if it's davening...
Could very well be. But before you get to that particular division or distinction between song versus davening, let's say lichadodi, which is just a song, versus, let's say, middle of a bracha, let's first talk about the Mishnah that says, Modim Modim Shma Shma off. Is that just in those cases? Why? Limited to those two cases for a very simple reason. What's the reason? You all said it before.
Two gods. Thank two gods.
It's like thanking two gods. So those are off limits. But anytime it doesn't look like two gods, it would be okay. Or, those are just examples. And you can't repeat words unless the Gemara says that you can't repeat words. You say the words once and you go on. That's the question we have to deal with today. So, not going into all the details that go into it, let's try to simplify it as much as possible. The Tosfot on that Gemara quotes a Yerushalmi in Masechet Brachot that says that this whole din of Shema Shema and Modim Modim is only limited to doing it in public. Mainly in public, it's not the right thing to do. But in private, if it adds to your kavana, then it's okay. The Tor, Lahalacha, says we don't paskin like this Yerushalmi, it's not in the Bavli. And therefore, he says that you shouldn't take this heter at all. And ultimately, he says to be machmir, not say shma shma modim modim, even in private. However, that's going to be very important for the following reason. There are basically, I would say, four points of view on this issue in the poskim later on in history. And each one revolves around the point I just said. Is the Gemara giving us two examples because they are problematic, but the rest are okay? Or is the Gemara giving us examples, and you shouldn't repeat words in davening? So there's four points of view, and I'm going to give my fifth. And let me start with my fifth. In my humble opinion, without going into the halachic points of view, I think that it's a bad idea. For a very simple reason. The attention span of our congregations today are far lower than previous generations. For various reasons. It started with microwaves, it went on to instant internet, now it's cell phones. I mean, how many people sat around this table this morning, heard a shear, and didn't look at their cell phone once in a span of 5 minutes? Baruch Hashem. Three people out of many. Gentlemen, you go to shul. Shul is long enough, quote unquote. And you go ahead and you repeat words. Not only will no one have more kavana, like indeed the Yerushalmi seems to say, but more importantly, it's actually going to ruin davening for many people. Just think of that Kel Adon song where at the end, Shevach Notnim Lo doesn't fit into the song, so they say it again. Shabbos morning, the davening is not long enough. There's a laning in front of us, a rabbi's speech. Who knows how many Misha Beruchs and how many people are sick? Not to mention the fact that who knows who's going to be the chazan for Musaf. And a guy for Shacharis, before all that happens, goes ahead and repeats words. It's not 2 seconds. We're talking about repeating words that make davening longer. So first and foremost, before we get into the halachic question, I want to say that in my humble opinion, I think it's a bad idea. Davening is long enough. We should say the words of davening. We should think of appropriate songs to sing. And we should not go ahead and repeat words in order to instigate the fact that we have a beautiful voice, or the fact that we like the song, or for ever other reasons, because I believe that at the end of the day, you're going to lose more than you're going to win going into it. So before we get into the halachic issue, I'm just saying that I think that it's not such a good idea. Yes?
I agree with you, but you might feel that this way you're inspiring the kahal and they sing along with you.
All right,
so
we'll get to it.
We'll get to it. You're involving the participants.
So, Harold says, well, maybe you're right. On the other hand, take the same logic you said, Grunstein, and turn it over. Maybe if you sing Hodu Hashem Kitov in a beautiful song twice, three times, four times, that's one of the places the Gemara says it's okay, as I said earlier. Maybe you're inspiring them more. Maybe they're getting into it more. After all, a good speaker doesn't say his idea once and sits down. No one remembers it. A good speaker repeats his main point a few times so people understand it, and it sinks into their head. So at the end of the speech, you don't know all the stories and all his makoros and all his sources and everything he says, but you know his main point. So maybe in order to enhance davening, it might be okay. So let's get into the points of view on this issue without getting into the Rishonim. We'll go right to the Achronim this morning, and we'll say as follows. Number one, the Bach. The Bach, the Bayit Chadash, Rav Yoel Sirkis, he wrote a perush on the tour. The Bayit Chadash says that first of all, you have to make a distinction between someone doing it privately and publicly, like the Yerushalmi. But then he says something interesting, and this is important for us, because none of us do this privately. It's all public anyway. He says, if you do it publicly, no one in their right mind will think you're davening to two gods. How could an entire shul be over the Avodah Zarah? That's called an Ira Nidachat in the Torah. The whole entire shul is singing Shevach Not Nimlo Kol Tzva Marom, and then it says it again, the whole shul is over the Avodah Zarah. The whole shul is saying thank you to this God and thank you to that God. It can't be. And therefore the Bach says that if you do it in public, it's okay. Clear cut, public, it's okay. In private, we'll go into all the sugyas, yes, no, maybe, whatever. In public, it's okay. Number two, the Torah Tmima. Who was the Torah Tmima?
Torah Epstein.
Very good. Which Rabbi Epstein?
Baruch Epstein.
Rav Baruch Epstein. Rav Baruch Epstein wrote in a beautiful parish on the Torah called Torah Tamima. He has footnotes where he gets all his sources from. If you want to know everything Chazal say, almost everything Chazal say, you can learn the Torah Tamima. It's organized like you wouldn't believe. Now I'm going to give you the other side of the coin. He also wrote an autobiography called Pnei Baruch. It is the most disorganized three-volume book I have ever read in my life. So it's interesting how the Torah to me more organized. Autobiography, wow, all over the place. You may know part of that autobiography because it was actually translated by Art Scroll and then had to be called back because there was problematic parts in there. It's called My Uncle the Netziv. We won't go into that story and what happened and whatnot. Lo Aleinu, it says in there a few things that are terrible, such as the wife and the Netziv learned Torah and the Netziv read newspapers Friday night. Things that you shouldn't be writing in an Art Scroll book. In any case, the Torah Tamima says the following. He says anything you do to enhance davening is fine. So as Harold said, if you enhance davening, it's okay. So we have the Bach that says in public, and we have the Torah Tamima saying that if it's enhancing davening, it's okay. Putting them together, I would say, okay, if you have a tune that enhances the kavana of the people in public when they sing together and enhances the davening itself, might be a good idea. So repeat a few words. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a tune for Areshet Tzifateinu, and it's repeated because those words are very strong. May God listen to our tzkiot and listen to our malchiot, zichronot and shofarot. Perhaps you got the Bach, you got the Torah Tamima. But the Torah Tamima, Rabbi Epstein, had a father. What was his name, Bruce?
Rabbi Epstein.
Right. They had the same last name. Not always the case. Rabbi Yichel Michal Epstein wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, point blank, Simon Nun Givel, Seif Katan Yud Gimel, Usser to repeat words. Out! What is he basing himself on in the Magen Avraham? The Magen Avraham totally disagrees with the Bach. The Bach is in Simon Samech Aleph, and so is the Magen Avraham. And the Magen Avraham says, with due respect, it is absolutely usser. And he brings a proof. He says in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet, it talks about repeating words during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And it says that in this case it's okay because the last word that you repeated was the first word of the next sentence. It's like if you happen to work out that, let's say the end of the sentence is Tov, and the next beginning of the next sentence is Tov, you're not really repeating words, you're just ending a sentence and beginning the next. It sounds like you're repeating words, Tov, Tov. But the bottom line is, you're actually not repeating words. From here deduces the Magen Avraham, that if not for that, it would be usher to repeat words. And the Aruch HaShulchan paskins like the Magen Avraham, totally usher. You know who else paskins this way? And this really surprised me. Because if you go into Yekish communities, they have chazanos pieces that are very ancient. Because as you know, the Yekim don't change. They do what they've done. Now, you're laughing. I'm not laughing. Because see, we change. We pick and choose. We go from bits and they don't change. Whatever the minhag was, they continue it. We go ahead. We pick a little from here, a little from there. Hoshanot. They will not do Hoshanot after Halo. They put the lulav away. When did they do Hoshanot?
After
Musaf. That's what it says in the Rama. You go ahead. You pick and choose. No, this is far here. It's better. It's easier. We'll do it this way. Ashrei Uval Etzion said this morning after you put back the Sefer Torah. No. It's easier to, as he's doing Glila, we'll say Ashrei, we'll save time, so we'll take a little from this Sfarad. We pick and choose here and there. They don't pick and choose. So I thought in the Yekish communities, they repeat words, they have cantorial pieces. Comes along the Rashar Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Mefol Hirsch. Everybody here knows the name. Everybody knows his Perush on the Torah. Well, I just found this out. I didn't know this. He actually wrote a responsum on Halacha. I never knew. It's called Shemesh Umarpeh. Sun, and you will be cured. In Shemesh Umarpeh, right at the beginning, Aruch Chaim Siman Dalet, he says that if you repeat words in davening, first of all, you're taking away from the uniqueness of God. There's only one God. And number two, you're making davening into a mockery. You're saying basically, oh, davening is for me to use. So I'm going to take a tune I like, and I'm going to fit it into davening. And if davening doesn't work out with the tune, so I'll change the davening to meet my tune. Shouldn't you change the tune to meet the davening? You're making a mockery out of the davening. So we have the Bach that says you can do it, first of all, in public, and second of all, if everyone does it, and you have the Torah Tmimah say you can do it to enhance davening. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham says totally usher with the Aruch HaShulchan and the Rashar Hirsch for their reason. As we come down to the end of the Shir, and we come down to our generation, let's see what the Gdolei Poskim say. And actually, they both agreed, but not exactly. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Ovadia Yosef. Rav Moavadya Yosef says, don't repeat words in davening. Absolutely not. He quotes a Maharam Shik. He quotes many sources, as Rav Ovadya does. Do not repeat words in davening. Out. Rav Moshe Feinstein does what Bruce does. Now we come back to the beginning of this year. We said there's a Mishnah in Masechet Brachos, Davlam and Gimel Abut Bet, says not to say modim, modim. The Gemara then brings Rabbi Zera saying not saying Shma, Shma. And we asked a simple question. Is this just examples? Or is this only these cases? Rav Moshe Feinstein takes the logic of not examples or only these cases, but only these cases, and says what Bruce said earlier. It depends where you're standing. If you're in the middle of a bracha and you start repeating words, well, let's see what you're repeating. If you're repeating words that change the whole bracha around, then what's that called in halachic language? Not yet. Yes, but more importantly, let's say you're in a big bracha and you start singing. Whatever you start singing. And when you start singing, you're totally and utterly changing the significance of the words. Okay? You know the famous joke, no? The Chazanim had the, it's not a bracha, but they said, V'hurachu mechaper avon v'lo yashchit, and the whole choir said, Yashchit! Once again, God, the merciful God, do not destroy us, and everyone said, destroy! Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you do that in the middle of a bracha, that's called hefsek. You're in the middle of the bracha, changing the words. So it's like in the middle of a bracha, you're eating matzah. It's like in the middle of the bracha, you're eating a sandwich. You have to repeat the bracha. If, however, it's not in the middle of a bracha, or it is in the middle of the bracha, but you're not changing the words, you don't have to go back. But he says that it's not a good idea. And he says outside of a bracha, except for the actual cases that the Gemara says, it's against what the rabbis want, what he calls Ritzon HaChachamim. However, you not necessarily have to go to the Chazan and say, don't do it. So therefore, as you can see here today, there's an overwhelming, in my opinion, overwhelming voice coming out of all the poskim, except for a few, saying that you don't repeat words during davening, especially in public. Even though in public we found a heter for it, the Bach, and the Torah Tumah says it enhances davening. In general, we see that it's not so clear. The Rav Moshe Feinstein starts saying in the middle of the bracha versus not in the middle of the bracha, but Rav Ovadya Yosef said no, the Magen Avraham said no, we said that Aruch HaShulchan and Rosh Arhir said no, but on the other hand, you do have the Bach, and you do have the Torah Tumah. And again, it all goes back to that Gemara about Modim Modim. Is it just those cases? Because that has a specific problem, or it's in general. If you ask me what we should do on this issue, I would say as follows. First of all, I would not go up to a chazan and tell him, repeat the bracha, unless he really totally annihilated the bracha. I've never been in a situation where the chazan says something that it's absolutely the opposite of what the bracha is, that you have to listen carefully. Usually brachas are short, but on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you start Malchiyot with Aleinu, and you end with Melech HaKol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. That's a large, large bracha. You start with Atah Zocher Maaseh Olam V'Zichronot, and you say Psukim and whatnot, and you end with Zocher Abrit. If the Chazan plays around there and starts changing up words in such a way that it makes the whole Zichronot say something it doesn't say, then we have a problem. I once heard on a recording, a chazan was about to be a chazan in a shul, so he pre-recorded what he's going to use in shul. So he started to sing, HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim, Im Yelet Shashuim, Im Yeladim Rabim, Im Yelet Shashuim. Well, if a chazan started saying, Im Yeladim Rabim, Im Yelet Shashuim, he not only changed the pasuk, he ultimately changed the whole significance of what God's saying. And if that's the case, you have to go right back and start again. On the other hand, it's very, very rare to hear that. So I would say as follows. First of all, I think it's a bad idea to repeat words. Davening is long enough. Number two, it could be a halachic problem to repeat words. We saw many poskim today against it, from Ovadia Yosef in our generation, going all the way back to the Magen Avraham, later on the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Rosh Ar Hirsh. On the other hand, we can't totally and utterly disregard the Bach and the Torah Tmima, that if you put them together, they say if it enhances davening and everyone's doing it together, it might be nice. Therefore, I think you have to have a judgment call here, in which you, on the one hand, look at your watch and see if it's warranted. And number two, if it is warranted, you have to ask yourself, not only is it warranted in terms of time, But as Harold said, is it warranted in terms of enhancing the davening versus enhancing the chazan? And here I'd like to add, as we end, the beautiful words of the Rashba. The Rashba has a tshuva about this new idea of chazanim showing off their voice in davening. Didn't happen in the past generations. He says, we have chazanim now, and they come, and they show off their voice. And the Rashba says, if they're doing it to glorify God, it's beautiful. But if they're doing it to glorify themselves, it's awful. I remember once, when I was in yeshiva, there was a Friday night after Shavuos. So, you know, it was like a two-day yontif. Not exactly a two-day yontif, that's like an oxymoron. It was one day Shavuos, the next day was Shabbos. But we're going from a yontif to a Shabbos. So they did a cantorial Friday night, and at the end of davening, people clapped. And my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein got very upset. Probably because of the tshuva of the Rashba that I'm promising you at that age I didn't even know existed. But I knew there was a Rashba, I didn't know there was a tshuva of the Rashba. And the tshuva of the Rashba says that if you're doing it to glorify yourself and your voice, there's a problem. If you're doing it, however, to glorify davening, to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to glorify the words, then I think it could be beautiful. But take into consideration, first of all, are the people with you? Or are you in your own little world up there? And number two, if the people are with you, are they going to come out of there inspired? Or are they going to come out of there saying, oh my gosh, it took twice the time? Yes, Bruce. Comments, questions. I know this is a controversial issue, so go right ahead. Let's go.
If the Kazan forgets, he skips something accidentally, number one. And number two is, if there is a designated gabbai, is it really only his job to decide whether to create a balagan when something inadvertent did occur?
Well, first of all, if you skip something, we have to deal with each case individually. When we talk about a gabbai, I believe that gabbaim have a very, very important job. And I don't say this just because I was a former gabbai. I say this because I believe that many a times you can balance out davening in such a way that if the chazan of shachris is taking too long, the chazan of musaf should be the guy who doesn't take too long. And it's not an embarrassment to say, listen, there was a long laning today. There was a chazan for shachris that went overboard. What are you going to do? He has a big mouth. He said too much. He repeated words. Please, musaf, no singing. Yes, that is the gabbai's job, in my humble opinion. It's not, and the gabbai should keep his eye on the watch, and his pulse should be working, and he should see what's happening. I believe that is absolutely the job of the gabbai. What I'm talking about here is not that. I'm not talking about what happens when something goes wrong. I'm talking about as a policy. Should a shul go ahead and create a policy which says don't repeat words? Either because it's usur, as we saw, or because davening is long enough, or because it doesn't enhance davening. Now, if you come to the conclusion it does enhance davening in certain places, and it doesn't necessarily make people annoyed because of the time factor, maybe it's a good idea, but you have to take those two things into consideration. Number one, is it mutter at all? And if you say it's mutter, it's only mutter if it enhances davening. Maybe it doesn't enhance davening. Maybe it just enhances the chazan. It enhances his voice. It enhances his little world up there. It doesn't enhance everyone else. Yes?
Two things. I recall once at YU, Rav Soloveitchik, that's how he used to daven there, and he would not allow people to repeat words.
I'll just add to you what you said, that I saw an article by Rabbi Bleich in one of his books, in which he said that Rav Soloveitchik did not allow people to repeat words because of a different reason I didn't say altogether. I don't understand it yet personally. It's my fault. I don't understand it. The Gemara in two places says, Kol psukei de lo paskinan, Moshe anan lo paskinan. You have to divide the psukim like Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't go ahead and lane and end the psukim wherever you want. It's vayidaber Hashem Moshe Limor. Stop. Go on. Daber b'nei Yisrael, etc. So he said the same thing about davening, because there's many psukim in davening, but he said in general in davening. Now I understand it about the psukim, I didn't get it about the davening part, but you're absolutely right. There's an edut in writing that Rav Soloveitchik didn't allow it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I saw it in my, you know, with my own eyes. Second point, I saw an incredible thing. A chazan who was a survivor of the Holocaust changed the word around. I don't know if it was inadvertently or advertently, instead of saying Ohev Amo Yisrael, he said Oyev Amo Yisrael. And
First of all, I'm glad nobody said anything, because I'll tell you why. First of all, halachically, you know what, let's start from the other side. On a human level, if a Holocaust survivor said that, and you think maybe he means it, keep your mouth shut that day.
Yeah.
Second of all, even if the Chazan said it, and you didn't answer Amen, you probably said it yourself. You say the Baruch Baruch Atah Hashem, Ohev Amo Yisrael before Shema. It's not like he says it on your behalf. So it's not like in that case, if you didn't say the right bracha, it makes all of us have to repeat the bracha. Now, I'm assuming that if a gentleman, even a Holocaust survivor, is coming to shul, standing before Kadosh Baruch Hu and being a Chazan, I'm pretty sure it was a mistake. And he didn't mean that. But that is a very extraordinary story. And I have to admit that indeed I have davened in my life with Holocaust survivors, and it's always an experience to see which parts of davening they have a problem with, and which parts of davening they say with more kavanah than I'll ever say. My own Rebbe and mentor, Rav Amital Zichrono Levracha, has said many times, when he says, during the yontivs of the year, Ata bechartanu mikol ha'amim, you have chosen us from all the nations, Ahavta otanu, you loved us, Veratzita banu, you wanted us. He says it, and it's very difficult for him to say. Because what comes back to him is everything that happened in the Holocaust. On the other hand, you could see parts of davening where Holocaust survivors that you've davened with are more happy than you will ever be. Are more happy than you'll ever be able to be. Because they went through the horrors and the hell, and all of a sudden they see the Jewish people prospering. And there's parts of davening talking about Ki v'shem kod shecha nishbata lo, like we say at the end of the Haftorah and the Brachos, Shelo yichbeni ro lo olam va'ed, and you see the way they say it, it's something that you could, how can I say this nicely, you're not going to be able to mimic and repeat in your life. So definitely it's an experience, in my humble opinion, to daven together with people that went through the hells of the Holocaust, and later on in life, people that went through terrorist attacks, people that went through various terrible hardships, and to see which parts of davening they say with kavanah, less kavanah, get upset, not get upset, it's something that we have to be attentive to. But I have to say, in all those cases, I mean, I never went to a shul where a chazan said, Oyev Amo Yisrael. That's extraordinary. But I have to admit that in all these cases, I think that we are very zoche, that these people are still davening before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a given. And number two, they're taking it seriously. It's hard for them to say the words. They're not just, you know, like the rest of us. Okay, let's say the mumble jumble and move out. I had a congregant, should live and be well, who there was a big kiddush in my former shul, so a lot of people are coming down until everyone congregates, sits next to tables, and there's a lot of noise, and he's getting annoyed. He was there every Shabbos, he knew, like, you know, davening ends at this time, and kiddush is within 10 minutes, and he's already getting annoyed, his blood sugar's going lower, so he says to me in his deep voice, Rabbi, make with the words already! Which is another way of saying, make kiddush so I can eat. Now, many of people I know go to shul and make with the words. They say the words, they go home. What did you do today? I went to shul. What did you do there? I said the words. Well, what words? I don't know, whatever I said. And you see people that take davening seriously, and it's hard for them to say the words. And I think that is a beautiful sight to see. If it's hard, or if it's very easy, or if they're very happy, or if they're very sad, these are things that davening should bring out, the emotions of the heart. Davening is not called an avoda sheba sfataim. It's not the work of the lips. It's avodah shebalev, it's work of the heart.